It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
My next guest here on Grassroots Marketing is best known as the godmother of cannabis, a mother of two, peerless in the industry, an adult use cultivator, transitioning to a fully integrated micro license, and teaching cannabis courses, actively involved as a co-chair of the New York City Committee at the Cannabis Association of New York. And on that board, she's helping to go and shape the future of cannabis policy and education in New York. I'm here with Nicole Zhai, principal at Boozy Buds and board member again of the Cannabis Association of New York. Nicole, thanks for being on with us.
Thank you.
So there's a lot in New York where you can talk about in terms of the areas of, you know, obtaining that conditional adult use dispensary license. We've talked so much about social equity, talked a lot so much about when it comes to education and the various areas when it comes to the obstacles that New York has in place, where to the point that, you know, the governor has asked for an overhaul of the Cannabis Control Board. There's been so much there. But for yourself, you know, you came in firstly as a medical cannabis user. You're using up to $1,000 in treatments and really saw the economic potential and said, well, I'm going to go ahead and be that next entrepreneur and find my way in. So what can you tell me about your experience in New York and be able to go ahead and, first of all, get the hemp license now and holding 10 licenses around 12 farms through NAHE Farms or NAHE Farms, forgive me on the pronunciation, but you had your entrenchment into the cannabis space, the hemp space, and talking about your experience in it.
Yeah, so I originally started out as someone that went to the dispensary and spent money for my medicine, right? And this kind of fishtailed into me seeking getting involved in the industry, which I became a hemp farmer initially. So I started in farming. I really started in community gardens, like just growing fruit and vegetables. Mm-hmm. But if you can grow good fruit and vegetables, you can grow some good weed. So I started in the community gardens, just learning, you know, different mediums and growing techniques. But I always have been a cannabis user for some of my ailments that I have. But getting started, because I was a hemp farmer and I was a good actor in this space, they allowed me to get a license to cultivate. So I was an AUCC, which is an adult use conditional cultivator, and I got that license. But I had many farms that I managed under the hemp sector. So it's two separate entities. It's Bossy Buds, that is the cannabis brand, and then NAHE is the hemp brand.
And then one of the things that prompted you to go and go to the farming yourself is because your uncle was also a farmer. So you've had that. I mean, how much time did you spend on the farm with your uncle that prompted you to say, you know what, I can do the same? And, you know, the difference between doing it where he was in the South and where you are and the kind of climate you have in New York.
Yeah, I think that so I spent a lot of summers there in South Carolina because he was in Charleston, South Carolina. But my family, they originated from the West Indies, which is Jamaica originally. So we got brought over to Charleston, and that's where we kind of settled. And then my grandmother and mom, my great-grandmother moved to New York. But my uncle was a potato farmer, so he rode around and he grew potatoes and rode around and gave them out to the community. He also was a pastor of an AME church, so he did a lot of community service, for the community. So I got to see that in real time and just being on the land with him. He owned a lot of acres in Johns Island, South Carolina. So we would go down for the summers and he would come up to New York. And when I moved there, I moved to South Carolina as I became an adult, spent some time there. I got to really like see hands on what farming in the South was really like.
Now, what's interesting, too, with New York State, when they did institute adult use legalization a couple of years ago, one of the areas that's been very critical about is that some of the large commercial cultivators, there have been a lot of issues in terms of the outdoor cultivating and the contaminants that can come onto the plants as a result of that. But, you know, we never hear so much of that when it comes to conventional farming. And I'm sure, you know, you probably have some good procedures in place to avoid that kind of issue as well. What is it that you do that I feel like it makes a difference for you to be an outdoor cultivator? To where you don't have those kind of issues with any kind of pesticides or any kind of outside, you know, foreign objects getting on the cannabis that could be put as contaminant.
Well, I think that cannabis should be grown in a controlled environment. I do appreciate sun-grown cannabis and outdoor for extract uses. And anything that's on that cannabis plant will definitely be eradicated during the extraction process. That's the one thing. The other thing is that I know in farming and agriculture, it's something called pollen drip. So you have pollen, we have aspergillus on our hands. So it's all these different contaminants that will get on the plant if not properly cared for. The other part of it is doing soil analysis, because some of the stuff is rooted in the soil, right? And it can actually get in the plant through the soil, right? And you can test it and it says one thing, and then it'll be something else based on it being in the soil. So I think that, you know, doing proper soil tests, being aware of what some of the contaminants are and being able to figure out ways to avoid them, and just making sure you just have good good agricultural practices, you know.
Let me go and transition to education that you do right now. So you currently are teaching a cannabis course, and you are again involved with the Cannabis Association of New York. We talked about those that are looking there for their pathway to become more informed and educated and ready to go and take on, let's say, a social equity license, a CAURD license, or they might be a legacy operator looking to go ahead and legitimize themselves into the space. What can you tell me about the educational aspect there in terms of what's been offered? Because there's also been a lot of press and a lot of coverage about that as well, about the level of education that's available and accessible to those that want to be into the industry that might not be at a multi-sit operator. They might just want to come in as a craft grower and work their way up.
Well, I teach Introduction to the World of Cannabis at a CUNY school in New York City, right? Uh-huh. I also am preparing to do a online course at a trade school that I'm just doing. I wrote the curriculum already for it, and I'm just preparing to do the media for that online curriculum. What I would say is that Mega Evitz College is a college in Brooklyn. I'm an alumni to this school as well. That's where I teach. They were the first school to have a cannabis degree program, right, through their environmental science department. So they have a whole department and a whole degree program. I think you can get even your master's, if I'm not mistaken, with this program. And it's focused on cannabis overall, right? So you get to learn everything about the cannabis plants from beginning to end. In addition to that, there are some trade schools out there where you can take some courses at, and other opportunities at other universities that are coming out now with cannabis courses. I would say that if you're not sure what you want to do, I think that attending some events and getting familiar with the different aspects of cannabis, because you can be in a business that's not plant touching and do well, right? And never have to touch the plant. Fortunately, I am in the business of plant touching, and I like to educate folks on growing, right? Home grow is something that New York has approved. And I think June 26th will be the day. Today is the last day to put in comments for the home grow program, but you can grow at home, and you also was able to grow medically at home or have a patient care provider grow for you, right? So these are just different things that, you know, is a public record. Medical, you've been allowed to grow medically since 2014, since it became legal medically,
mm-hmm.
right?
And I want to definitely go ahead and get more into the home grow. I just want to ask one other thing that you stir my attention, because we've had a lot of talk in the last month or so because of the decision by the DEA to reschedule cannabis. And one of the areas I never really actually thought of or considered, and I'd love to know to get your take on this, if you actually had time to go and think about this or pursue this at all, because of the fact that now cannabis will be more accessible for research purposes. Would that also mean that a class like yours, you could actually have students, you know, actually take on cannabis as the plant and actually not just examine it, but also be able to do their own work on learning how to grow it?
Oh, yeah, because I'm actually going for that research license. New York also has a research cannabis license that you could get in New York that I've also plan on applying for to be able to conduct this certain type of research. And I think it's 7 different types of researches, research that you can actually do in New York. Another thing, just to highlight on the deschedulization, I don't know if you heard, but on May 15th, Governor Hochul and Lopardo, I believe, at Hinchy, they pushed for it. Lopardo and Hinchy and some others. Canny definitely was a big push for that. Black Farmers United. I didn't mention that, but I also am the co-chair of the Cannabis and Hemp Committee with Black Farmers United. They were another organization that pushed for cannabis being listed as an agricultural crop. That just happened on the 15th of May.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
So that is going to open up a lot of doors for research. It's also going to open up a lot of doors for local and state funding. It's also going to open up, you know, a lot of doors for different things when it comes to cannabis being an agricultural crop. The main thing is the 280E expenditure law that they have in place with the federal government, because now that this is an agricultural crop, now this is not on a federal level. This is just New York State. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that, you know, we won't be subjected to as far as the 280E law, right?
Right.
Because it's now a crop like corn, potatoes, you know, tomatoes. It's now considered a crop in New York State. So that changes the things a little bit when it comes to how you can file it, what you can get deductions for, and things like that. And I think that was one of the main things that was really hurting farmers between that and the potency tax, right? And that's also something that, you know, got repealed as well. So
let's get back to home grow. Now, back in October 2022, the Office of Cannabis Management regulated that those 21 and older would be able to go and grow a maximum of 6 plants per person at their home and a maximum of 12 plants total per household. And it was intended only for medical marijuana patients and caregivers. And, you know, in that place, under the Regulation and Taxation Act, New Yorkers without medical marijuana cards had to wait for recreational home growing regulations, and OCM had until July 2025 to put those regulations in place. Well, now we're reading that, you know, the new home grow rules are in place, and, you know, the draft rules have been put into place. More than 100 new cannabis business licenses also hoping to help the legal market oversee their start. So now you're seeing that in the place, and what can we see in terms of what the home grow does? I mean, when you feel like getting people the chance to go ahead and go and grow those plants and also being able to have up to 5 pounds of cannabis derived from those plants, you know, we're still also waiting on requirements on storing the plants or remediating any odors if they become a nuisance to neighbors. But what do you think about what New York State Sun does so far to allow home grow and what they're allowing you to do at home?
Well, I think that what they're allowing is just an expansion of what they already allow, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a medical patient now to grow it. You can grow up to a certain amount, and the legalization for the amount of grams or ounces you can have per person is a little bit different than any other state, right? You can have up to 5 pounds of marijuana in your house. You can have up to 3 ounces on your person. So New York State did something a little different. I think that them implementing home grow will also help as an equity issue, because if you are someone that's on a fixed income, you may not be able to afford the same amount of cannabis that you would regularly use, right? So allowing you to be able to spend a fraction of that money to be able to grow some of it yourself, and then, you know, would limit your spending at the dispensaries, because it can get costly, right?
Right. Now, with that, you know, the opportunity for people to go ahead, and now the avocation's there. Now we have this program. What can you tell me in terms of what you're doing right now through, I don't know if it's through Boozy Buzz or Nye Farms, about, you know, the opportunity for people to go ahead and grow their own cannabis? I also know that you have an affiliate program you're also offering right now for home grow. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so I have been doing events and just meetings around home grow since March of 2021, since legalization. So because I knew in the regulations with the MARTA that I read that there would be some uses for home grow, and then also get people that are medically qualified to use cannabis, get them engaged with growing their own, and kind of holding the ROs, because the ROs are supposed to do some things with home grow. So I started the affiliate program, just meeting with people, just doing surveys and having the question, would you like to grow your own? Do you know anything about growing? And I've had probably about 4 or 5 events. My last event was probably, I had 4. So the last one I did was at the caucus in February. I did a meeting for home grow there, just explaining what it was. And then I did one in Harlem, which I raffled off a free tent. So I was able to provide someone with the tent, the lights, the pots, the soil, genetics, everything they needed to do to get started with the home grow. And that's the same kind of concept I would push with home grow. Also working with some individuals, preparing a Discord. So we will have collaborators on the Discord to where they can ask an expert. We also will have ways that experts may be able to come into your home if you're locally in the New York. And this is only for New York City, right? We'll be able to talk with other people in other states, but not actually promote in other states. It will just be strictly for New York City for now.
Well, either which way, there's a lot that's, at least we know there's a lot that's good in terms of the possibilities for that personal use. That's one of those things that was another area because of the problem that, you know, dispensaries to get licensed, to get to the pathway, no matter what, if they're the CRE, if they have a card license or not, the one thing is just that the licenses, they only got 100 dispensaries to open up right now, are getting to that 100 number right now as we speak. It's been such a slow process. So in the meantime, for those that don't want to go ahead and wait, if they can grow it at home and have a good way to go and do that, what would be the best way for them to go ahead and get started? And what can you offer listeners there in New York State so they can get their home grow up and going?
Well, I think the best way that they can get started is getting in touch with me. You can email me at my email, info@bossiebundz.com. And I will put you on my waiting list for potential folks that are interested in this program. And then once we have our packages together, you can pre-order your package for your home grow and join our Discord. That would be the best way. And just stay tuned for future things coming as far as the education channel, as far as some different contests that we'll be having to promote home grow. And we plan on doing it in all 5 boroughs. So we plan on doing a campaign, working with some other offices to get this going as well.
Is there a website that people can reach out and learn more from? What will be the best place to go and reach out in terms of the website?
Well, it would be email. Right now, the website is not up. It's under construction. But when I have it, I can provide it. And it will be the same, probably, bossybuds.com, www.bossiebuds.com.
And I'd also tell you, I also saw that you're on LinkedIn as well. If you're looking on LinkedIn for NAHE CEO, you can also find Nicole there, find our information. So I'm doing it myself as we actually speak on here. So with that said, Nicole Jai with Boosie Buds and also principal and board member of the Cannabis Association of New York. Thank you so much for being on with us. Really appreciate you taking time out.
Thank you. Have a good one. Take care.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.